as our buckle joins us every Tuesday to talk some football, college football. Playing portion of the season is done. Of course, we don't acknowledge off seasons because there is no off season. There's a playing portion and a non-playing portion. NFL playoffs are in full swing, though. I try to watch them. I can't attach to them because it doesn't interest me that much. But, Buck, what are you seeing? Teach me something, because I'll be the student, you be the teacher. What's going on in the playoffs right now? What are you seeing?
Well, you see the level of intensity raised just last night. You know, the Rams heard how finesse. And all you have to do is get into the playoffs and win a few games, and then you're to the Super Bowl. And I think the Rams finally helped Matt Stafford and OBJ, for that matter, really show some good playoff moxie. You know, I think the biggest thing is with the playoffs, to me, is I always look at just the little things that come up that can create big, big problems. You know, the officials missing, you know, blowing the whistle, even though the whistle was after the play, they're not going to work any more games because you have to just be so focused. I think that's the part for the playoffs in football, the focus, the level of focus that you have on every single play. Just think about Dak Prescott. Yeah, I know what McCarthy was saying, but everybody that knows clock management, there's a couple of things you have to do. You can't use time when you have no timeouts. So your time is your best friend, and it can be your worst enemy. The other thing, Dak has to hand the football to the official. You know, that's the one thing that's different in college and pro. When you get a first down, and I know most everybody knows it, but when it's in that kind of situation, it has to be practiced almost to the minute detail. I go for maybe 5 or 6, maybe 7 yards instead of 15. As soon as I get up, I hand the ball to the official so he can spot it. That saves me 3, 4, maybe 5 seconds, depending on how much time they can do that. Because you just get in a situation where you're going to run out of time. That was a glaring mistake by the Cowboys, along with the 14 penalties. But again, it's just, if you beat yourself, it'll show up in the playoffs, and I think we saw that. The Bengals haven't won a Super Bowl game in 31 years. I thought that was good for them and their program. You can see with a difference, Joe Burrow, and you know, just a few additions can make in that instance. So I think it just teaches you. I always tell people is watch the college guys that you love watching when they were in college, and you'll have a good time. The playoffs is exciting. First weekend was outstanding.
Does Joe Burrow's play, and we all know he's good, but in year two as an NFL quarterback, and we've seen so many quarterbacks bust, is his excellence surprising to you?
Not surprising. It's surprising how fast it's come. You know, I thought he'd be really good, right? And I thought it would come at some point, but I did not think it would be this quick. I think that's the part that surprised me. I also knew Ja'Marr Chase was going to be an outstanding player, but I think even my expectations of him have been just because of some of the things that he was struggling with when he came out, but part of it was the rust that he had for sitting out a whole year, right? First couple of weeks, I think, in practice was just a struggle for him because the game, he wasn't able to catch up to the game, and then he did. It's just shown the level of play. You know, and I think the other thing with the Bengals, they have been much maligned because their offensive line hasn't been good. I think Joe Burrow helped the offensive line. They still have some work to do there, and I think Joe Mixon, the combination of Joe Mixon and Samaje Perine has really paid dividends for them, along with Chris Evans this year. And I think their defense, you know, Sam Hubbard, you know, we always talk about the Bosa kids, especially the ones out of Ohio State, but Sam Hubbard, I don't think ever got his due. And I think you're starting to see how good of a player he is, along with some of the other defensive players they have on that front seven, but also their back end. You know, I've been impressed with Cincinnati. Over the last 4 or 5 weeks, I really started watching them and how they play defensively. But their offense is so explosive, man. And the way, you know, Burrow is finding open guys, Uzama, from Auburn, I think the tight end has really stepped up and played well down the stretch also.
Tom in Myrtle Beach, ask Buck Bill, is there any team in the Pac-12 that can compete for a national championship this coming season? He says it seems like they are so far behind the SEC, the Big Ten, and the Big 12.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see it right now. I don't. Oregon was a team that everybody kind of slated, but Oregon now with the new coaching staff, I don't know. I really don't see it this year, unless there's some things that happen in the transfer portal for a team like USC. Which, if Caleb Williams comes on board, they got the other receiver out of Oklahoma. But to me, it really has to happen up front. You know, how they're going to build on that offensive defensive line. So I would say no. Right now, I don't see anybody competing on paper. Until I get closer to the year, and we see what the transfer portal kind of say.
Buck, we were just talking, Charles Arbuckle with us every Tuesday, about interesting transfer portal. Hunter Johnson started his career at Clemson. He was a five-star quarterback recruit and just didn't work out at Clemson to where he could maintain the job. And, of course, they recruit other big-name quarterbacks as well there. He ends up transferring to Northwestern and gets his chance there. Not overly impressive, to say the least. And it was just announced he's transferring back to Clemson. So, Buck, I guess my question is, I don't know if I've seen a guy transfer back before. And I would assume, Buck, he doesn't think he's going to come in there and take that job. They've got the kid out of Austin Westlake, a five-star, coming in, and then DJ still there. What's going on, as far as you know, with Hunter Johnson?
I don't know. I mean, you know, Hunter never really seemed to get comfortable when he was at Clemson before.
Right.
And he actually regressed when he went to Northwestern. My only thought is maybe he's going to Clemson to graduate, get a degree from there. That's all I can really think. And,
yeah.
And you know, in some school, I think, too, let's think about it. You know, we saw the Stetson situation. He ends up coming back. I don't think he maybe feels that's going to happen, but I'm sure Dabo is told him, hey, look, you know, we thought highly of you. I don't think there ever was a we don't like Hunter Johnson at Clemson. I never felt that. The coaching staff always talked highly of him. He just wasn't able to make the plays when he got his opportunity. So maybe they told him, hey, look, we get a degree from here. Maybe he's setting himself up for coaching. I don't know. I just think sometimes if you kind of get to a point in your career where you just feel like you can't maybe make it on the field, you have to start thinking about post-game, as you finish. And for him, you know, he started at Clemson and he really was well thought of there. Maybe they're bringing him back so he can get his degree from Clemson.
Josh up in London, Ohio, ask Buck. Wow, this question. I don't know if he's kidding or not. Ask Buck who wins their division first, Tennessee in the SEC East or Ole Miss in the SEC West. And, Buck, that means you got to out-recruit Georgia and Alabama to do that.
Yeah, he's not asking a fair question at all. Oh, my goodness, because Kirby's recruiting like crazy and Nick maybe because Ole Miss is just a little bit ahead and they have an old Wiley Coyote kind of guy. And Lane is actually at Ole Miss. Yeah, and so maybe that's why I would say Ole Miss has a little bit of an advantage, but neither one of them. I'll give the edge to Ole Miss just because of Lane Kiffin. How's that?
Charles Arbuckle joins us. Every two. Yeah, I don't know if Josh has gotten into the crown apple this morning or what he's doing with that question. But
That was a hell of a question, but it was one almost you got to say, you know, sometimes you that was a pretty – I got to give it to him.
You're over there in Charlotte, and you see Clemson a lot. You see all those teams a lot, Buck. Clemson went 10-3, and we're all kind of sitting here thinking, okay, it wasn't a really good season, but they actually played pretty well down the stretch. And do you think that this was just a little bleep on the radar, or are they kind of heading backwards a little bit?
No, but that's an interesting question because, you know, now that Georgia has started to play at such a high level, they've always recruited at that level. I think, you know, when you see the proximity from Clemson to Georgia, you can tell, you know, is always, in my mind, I've been here and watched the play in the ACC, but they have a SEC feel in the way they recruit and the way they get after it on the recruiting trail and the way they develop players. I think the biggest thing for them is, you know, how are they going to get those explosive players like they had before and offense and defensive line, you know, consistently over the course of the time when they were battling Alabama for national championships. You know, we thought of the team that the number two or number one every year. They had players that could make plays and get them to that next level. I don't know if we see that now, as consistently as we did the past few years. And I think that's the part that's going to be interesting to watch. Can Dabo's, you know, get back to recruiting the Christian Wilkins kind of kids? Can he get back to recruiting, you know, the T. Higgins or the DeAndre Hopkins, you know, on the outside? Can you get the explosive running back kids like you had before? I mean, Will Shipley, I think, is going to be a really good player, but early on he was hampered by a lack of an offensive line that could block for him, and then he was, you know, injured earlier in the year. When he showed that he could play, I think he was in a different spot. Leroy Etienne was just such a special talent that can he match up to that? You know, those are the things that you kind of look at now that Clemson has put themselves, they're battling now against their own success. I would have to say, though, they've lost, you know, two really key coaches on offense and defense, and that's going to be a telltale sign if they can keep this going, because they have Venables for a long time. Offensively, they kind of had co-offensive coordinators, and they adjusted and adapted. But now losing both of them at the same time, I'm wondering how that's going to affect them, and will it have any ill effect? Dabo's been able to keep guys internally, but he's also been able to bring other people in, from the outside, that have helped them. So I think that's going to be the critical piece. How are these new coordinators going to play into the them getting better and playing at the high level that they were able to in the past?
Buck, we'll let you run, but are you the last couple of weeks getting the snow that we've been getting in the 615?
Yeah, we got a little bit of that ice. I don't think we got as bad as you guys did, but it affected us.
Wow.
So, you know, just a couple of days where you had to be locked in the house a little bit and didn't lose power. That was the biggest thing.
That's true. All right. Buck, we'll see you next week, sir. Appreciate it very much.
All right. Thanks, Bill. Take care.